90.3 KNBA. Yeah, that was The Dead from 1969. 12/11/69 in L.A., and that's from the new Dave's Picks, Volume 10. And special guests in the studio tonight, Big Fat Buddha.
Yeah, they just got in. Hey, thanks, guys, man. Hi. You set up real quick.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, well, let's introduce them. We have on bass Brad Fidel.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt Slodo. We call him Slodo on the drums.
Hey.
And Jeff Arms?
He's actually on a top secret submarine mission in the Pacific at the moment. That's all we know. Shaped like a hot tub, we've been told the submarine is. So, good luck, buddy.
And Matt, why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Matt.
No, I'm last name, just Matt.
I'm Matt. Mr. Brenna here.
All right, man. You guys tell us about how you got together and introduce yourselves as a band.
Sure, I originally put an ad on Craigslist looking for some players. Me and my buddy Paul Hannes were planning on putting a band together, and I put an ad up in the musician section saying someone into the Beatles, James Brown, and Bob Dylan, and Matt answered that ad. And he came over to the house, and he recognized me, even though he'd never met. He recognized me from a picture that was on the wall at the Eagle River Nature Center, where I had several years before was volunteering, and he was also a volunteer at that center. And they put all the pictures of the volunteers up there, so he recognized me from then. And that was
spooky that he focused
no, it was
in
awesome. It was
Brad from the wall. Well, there's nothing else to do when you sit there volunteering for 8 hours a day at the nature center, besides answer questions about bears.
But it's been very serendipitous ever since, and we've been playing music for 4.5 years now, and it's been like that. It's been a wild ride the whole time, so for sure.
Yeah, and so these guys reached out to us a couple of months ago, and you know, hey, we really love your show, Dead or Alive. That's cool. We'd love to get on there and talk about The Dead. It's like, wait a minute, talk about The Dead, but you guys are in a band. Why don't we talk about Big Fat Buddha? So he said, bring your music to the show, because this show is about music, right?
And you guys have been together how long?
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah,
coming
up on four and a half years. Yeah. At least Big Fat Buddha, not necessarily all the same members, but Big Fat Buddha has been a living entity for 4.5 years. So,
and have you been able to tour outside or just in Alaska?
Nope. We stay in Alaska. It's a better place to be a musician than the lower 48.
It's safer here.
any plans to go down south?
One day when the opportunity is right, for sure. But at the moment, we really love being in Alaska, and this is where our homes and our lives are and our passion. And so this is where we'll
the thing
be
is,
now.
It's like moving up here is such an ordeal that once you get here, you're like, you know what, I'll just stay here because what I went through to get here. You know, like we'll stay for now, I think. So
yeah. Well, and also being a musician in Alaska is kind of a special treat because in the lower 48, bands are a dime a dozen, and everybody's a musician, and if you want to play somewhere, you got to pay to play. You book a venue, and you try to sell enough tickets to maybe make your money back and hope that you have a decent show. While up here, musicians are harder to come by because most people are more interested in, you know, climbing or getting dirty on a four-wheeler
fishing.
Or shooting something, fishing, exactly. So there's not as many musicians up here, even though that seems to be changing pretty rapidly. So venues treat you better, and they're willing to, you know, pay a little bit more to get you out and, you know, give you dinner and a couple drinks and stuff like that, where in the lower 48, it's just, you gotta make it on your own more than anything. So we're pretty blessed to be up here, and also touring around in Alaska is unlike anywhere else, obviously, because you got a gig in Valdez, well, it's a 7-hour drive or whatever through some of the most incredible country you can imagine. So we make fun weekends out of all of our gigs and, try to make the most out of it up here, which is kind of a unique experience, so...
Right on. So you guys got a lot of gigs planned for the summer, right?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a great summer for us.
We should get into announcing some of that. But you know what? I bet everybody is interested in hearing what Big Fat Buddha sounds like. So if you haven't heard them yet, we posted a couple of videos on the Dead or Alive Facebook page recently. But here they are live in the studio. What are you guys going to start us out with?
Start out with a brand new one here. This one's called You Don't Know My Name. And it's a very... very brand new tune. Trying new things as we go, so we'll see how it turns out.
I was down, you picked me up. When I was feeling low, I've been drinking from this empty cup. No more time wasted on this feeling. Give me all your love, send my heart reeling. But I love you, you don't even think of me. You don't know my name anymore, anymore. Nothing feels the same since you went out that door. Your love, or that record spinning round and round. No more time, get your things together. Oh baby, out I tried, I just could not love another. But I love you, you don't even think of me. You don't know my name anymore, anymore. Nothing feels the same since you went out that door.
Big Fat Buddha on 90.3 KNBA. That was, I'm gonna clap. That was awesome.
Hey, somebody push the groupies out of the door, please.
Yeah, they're being very noisy.
Yeah, Island Style is invading the territory.
That was very noisy.
No, you guys are welcome to listen in. This is the best thing happening in the building right now, isn't it?
Now, did you guys write that music?
Matt is our songwriter. We'll let him tell you about that song.
Yes. Yeah, I wrote that one. Process of the song is a little bit bigger than just me, though. The kind of the ideas start, I'll come up with sort of a skeleton of a tune and try to get at least kind of a verse chorus and a little bit of a melody going on and sort of a general feel for something. And then what we do, actually, which is kind of convenience of nowadays technology, is I'll record it on my iPhone real quick, just as soon as it comes out of my head, pretty much, just to have it down. And I'll actually email it over to Mr. Bradley, And
now, wait, Matt, you don't do that while you're driving, right?
I only do it while I'm driving. Better creative process. So anyway, so I'll shoot that over to him, and then usually within about 20 minutes, or at least maybe a day, he'll record a little bass line to it, at least something kind of get it going, and then shoot it back. And I'm like, okay, and then I'll start working on it and maybe get some sort of lyric, not necessarily anything very concrete. And then we take it to the band at the rehearsal space, and kind of me and Brad can kind of deliver it as a somewhat complete product. And so the drummers have a good idea about what is supposed to be happening with the tune. And then we bootify it. And that's when we bring in the drums and we start, saying, boy, it'd be really cool if we did this or put a stop here, or maybe we'll, maybe we'll delete this part and replace it with this now that I hear the drums or whatever. And then Jeff comes in and bangs on the pigskins a little bit on his congas. And then it sort of evolves as we gig it too. We'll gig the tune a few times, and once you kind of get the response from the audience, you kind of know what works and doesn't work. And a lot of times we'll go back to the drawing board and say, boy, that energy was really great here, but let's save it for later in the tune or whatever it might be. So it's definitely an ongoing process with these tunes.
Now, I have one more question about this song. You were talking about loving a girl but not knowing her name. Is this somebody you met in a magazine, or could you explain that, please?
Lyrics don't make any sense. Come on. The lyric is, you don't know my name.
You don't know my name.
You forgot me. Come on now.
so on that note, though, I mean, you guys are a live band. I saw you at the Forest Fair, a couple years ago, and then I've been watching some of the videos online. Now, my understanding is you're in the studio. You're working on some new stuff. Is that right?
We're close to there.
Yes and no. Yeah. We've got about 2.5, maybe 3 albums worth of material written, plans to record in the fall a full-length album. We've been talking to some local studio guys. The last album we did entirely on our own, built the studio pretty much out of just a DAW, just like a computer studio with an interface and some mics, and did the whole thing completely on our own, which worked, and we got a good product, but it's really involved, and it's kind of hard being the recording engineer and the musician in the same times. You're running around worrying about getting mics in the right place and trying to be creative and all that at the same time. So
I think this is Slodo, the drummer. I think that's one of the cool things about playing in Alaska. I think it's so much different. I sort of grew up playing in and around Chicago for years, and the people here, the crowds are so like responsive that the songs evolve. So it's actually a great plan for us to write like in springtime, gig in the summer, see, like Matt was just saying, this bridge is too long, or people really want to dance to that part a little harder. And so the songs definitely evolve as we gig them, as we play them. And it's like a real awesome organic process that way, I think.
And then come fall, we'll be all ready to go, and all the cool little things that we thought of over the summer, we can record rather than.
So do you think you can, like going back to like Grateful Dead influences, those guys were almost never able to capture what they did in the studio, on stage, mm-hmm. what they did in the studio. So how does that segue for you guys? I mean, definitely are a live band just watching you here tonight,
Yeah. Well, they're two different monsters for sure, I think the Grateful Dead, in my opinion, never really tried to capture what they did live. They just let live be live and studio be studio. And that's a little bit of our approach. We like to try to get as much of our normal sound recorded when we actually do studio work, but it's definitely a different monster, and it's more produced and more complete. So, and we let our live show just kind of jam out and be funky.
If I may add to that, though, that Anthem of the Sun, the Grateful Dead's second album, is phenomenal. And they do like some live stuff with some studio stuff, and it's very bizarre. It's such a fantastic album.
Very experimental. Yeah,
super experimental.
And they came back to that idea with In the Dark.
Yeah,
which is a live studio album,
and they really mix it and blend it, and it's quite unique. And I think some of the Grateful Dead albums, to be honest, are underrated.
I agree.
I think they have some really good lives, some very good studio recorded stuff. And though they get a bad rap, I think, a little bit for their sales.
Well, it's funny. So their studio albums were better than most other band's studio albums, but their live was so much better than their studio. So what are you going to do? Well,
but see, I think that actually works in our favor these days, because it's like the old model of making records, like making the album with 12 songs and then trying to sell that, is like dead, because of file sharing the internet. So it seems that bands are making more money just playing shows, and you become more of a live band, I think, these days, because no one's making money with a record deal or selling albums anymore. So
except for Justin Bieber, but
except for Justin Bieber, exactly.
Yeah, well, we won't have Justin Bieber on Dead or Alive, and this is Dead or Alive, live music from the Grateful exactly. Dead and beyond on 90.3. And since it is live music, I think we should let Big Fat Buddha get back into the music.
So what song are we going to do here, guys?
Do a little Back to Washington here.
Oh, yeah, this is a song that Matt wrote about coming to Alaska, I think.
It's about a lot of things, but that is definitely it's a song about missing home. One, two, three.
I miss home. Yes, I really do. I miss my mother and father, and I miss my sisters too. There's one thing, though, that I know is true.
Never going back.
Never going back.
I'm never going back. Never going back.
Never going back.
Never going back to Washington. Hey, hey, hey. Well, the riptides keep moving, rippling with the colors of dawn. While the north winds are blowing, I guess I best be moving on. Cause this trail's never ending, winding through the night. While the ghosts of your past grow farther out of sight. Well, I miss home, yes, I really do. I miss my mother and father, and I miss my sisters, too. There's one thing, though, that I know is true. Never going back.
Never going back.
I'm never going back. Never going back.
Never going back.
Never going back to Washington. Hey, hey, hey! Well, the powers that be wouldn't let me rest. So I took off my apron and my vest. No more time wasting sitting at that kitchen table. I'll tell you how I do, I'll tell you how I'm able.
Well, I miss home, yes, I really do. I miss my mother and father, and I miss my sisters, too. There's one thing, Lord, that I know is true.
Never going back.
Never going back.
I'm never going back. Never going back.
Never going back.
Never going back
to Washington.
Feel the same way about California.
Never going back.
Yeah, right.
Where in California are you from?
Southern California.
Oh, yeah, me too. San Diego.
San Diego.
Yeah, is that where you're from?
Yeah, Ocean Beach. You're where kidding. The surf, not the surf.
Yeah, I know. I lived in Ocean Beach for several years in my 20s, for sure. I grew up Pacific Beach.
Oh, you did? Yeah, I love it there. And it went back. I mean, we were renting a place for, you know, $120. Same place.
Yeah.
I mean, add a zero. Two zeros, probably. I mean, it's just incredible how much money it costs to live there.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you guys, that was fantastic. Now, I've heard you guys do some cover songs, some pretty obscure cover songs on your live shows. How do you choose those?
That's always fun. We go through all the Bob Dylan songs and try to find the ones that aren't overplayed.
We kind of consider ourselves the son of Bob Dylan. Well, Matt's more like the grandson of Bob Dylan.
The reincarnation,
really
maybe?
Do feel like,
Brad's got the hair, but...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, cover songs are great to play because you can take a song that, you know, isn't necessarily too well known, and when you play it live, no one really knows if it's yours or somebody else's, so you...
It was like an Aerosmith wrote that song Come Together, right?
Yeah, I think Boyz II Men wrote that tune Yesterday. I don't know. But yeah, and... Yeah, we do some obscure covers. Nothing too obscure. Usually, you know, a lot of times they're tunes that anyone with a little bit of knowledge of older 60s Americana music might know. But
So what would you say on one of your shows is the percentage of your stuff versus covers?
Well, now it's what? 25% covers at the most, 15%?
Yeah, it depends on the length of the show, because if we play the Taproot, that's like a four-hour show. If we're doing festivals, it's an hour slot, so we're going to do our power set, and it's normally going to do one cover, maybe two at the most. So the longer sets we're filling in space. Matter of fact, in the old days, we were accused of being a jam band, and which I never agreed with. I thought that we just had to jam songs out to keep the momentum going and to fill up time.
Yeah.
We just would jam songs out and people, you're a jam band. It's like, no, we're not.
people like covers. I mean, you want to give people what they want, but then you also don't want to be a cover bar band that's doing Sweet Home Alabama or Mustang Sally. So.
People start yelling out Freebird, you know, you've kind of lost it.
Watch it. We'll break into it. Don't tempt me.
Yeah. Watch out.
So, you know, when you guys go see music, who do you like to see?
Good question. I'm really liking the Super Saturated Sugar Strings right now.
Yeah,
they're great.
Yeah,
they're
really nice folks too. We really like them a lot. They've who else? Who else is around that we
who
like?
Who else, man? Dirty Hands are awesome.
Dirty Hands are fantastic. They might be moving out of state though, unfortunately.
Yeah, chasing the dream down south.
Yeah.
I don't know. It all depends on kind of who's playing that Friday night.
I'm still kind of stuck in the 70s. I'm kind of a reggae dude, you know. Like Family Man is one of my Ashton Barrett is that Bob Marley's bass player, and he's one of my biggest influences. And they came through town, you know, probably people listening to saw him when they were in town. And he's the only original member left, and he played on every single Bob Marley album, went on every single tour with them. And to me, a hero. He was never ever in the spotlight. He always stood in the back. And the only time the spotlight was on him if Bob moved a little bit to the left and then some of it accidentally bled onto him. He was a very humble person, and he had the most amazing bass lines. And I truly think that Bob Marley wouldn't have sounded so sweet if it wasn't for Family Man. And I think he's quite an unsung hero. And I have a picture that I took of him. It's on my wall at home in a frame. So.
Signature of him doing Stir It Up, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, just he wrote that song. He had to, you know.
Yeah, he got no royalties either, but. You know, that's okay.
In it for the music.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So of the big names outside of our local Alaska music, you know, who are you guys into?
I think it's a good and a bad of living up here, because it's obviously we get less shows than like if you lived in LA or Chicago or something. But you get this weird mix, you know. I mean, since I've been here, like I've seen, you know, Primus or Slayer or Iron Wine. I mean, it's like it's the craziest mix of stuff, and you sort of take it as it comes, you know. But when's the last time you get to see Slayer, you know? So and you know, they were here like last year, you know, or Chili Peppers or
Chili
whatever.
Peppers
so,
are
as far
here
as the major that. Stuff, yeah. You sort of
yeah,
take
that was right after Salmon Stock. I had to miss that one. I was still down in the Nilchik.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I think my favorite live show in Alaska was probably Trampled by Turtles. I saw them up at Healy, actually. Didn't catch them at Salmon Stock. We saw them in Healy, and they all walked on stage, and everyone was stoked, and the wind was blowing, and all hair looks all like they're a bunch of models, this epic scene out in the middle of nowhere. And right then, the power goes out in the whole valley. And anarchy pretty much broke out after 30 minutes, and people were jumping on stage, and everyone was pretty trashed. And then, being at Alaska, the only place in the world pretty much this would happen, Bob from down the street forked over. Oh, the forklift is, you know, a 2,000-watt generator or whatever, you know, and the show went on, and they fired it up, and boy, they played their whole set, too, and it was epic. That's definitely my favorite current band that's making music. So
I saw the Dead in one of the shows I went to in Oregon, and I was involved in the greatest marshmallow fight of my life. I can kind of my related story. It was unbelievable. It's like, where did all these marshmallows come from? It was just.
But note
was
that he says the greatest, which means he's been involved in multiple. this was the best one out of all the
best
ones.
Well,
it was at a Dead show, so people were eating the marshmallows instead of throwing them.
I got hit by a couple
wet
ones.
What was in those marshmallows?
Yeah.
One drop each.
Which works. Like, I read like an awesome quote actually recently that said there's like a police chief in Seattle or something that said that he'd rather work 10 Dead shows or 10 Dead shows than one college football game because the people are just so chilled out. Usually the worst thing that could happen is a marshmallow fight, you know? So it's
Except for in Las Vegas, the cops were really aggressive there, and then the Vegas shows, and they'd pepper spray the audience, and I didn't really understand it, but
it's all part of the party, man. Yeah,
I guess. Yeah.
Pepper spray was new.
They got a party too.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? You're right, Slodo. I was at a show in 85 in Tampa, and some guy's walking through the parking lot just trying to pick a fight. He's walking around yelling and screaming and cussing at everybody and say, come on, you want to fight me? I want to kick your butt, man, all this stuff. And everybody just kind of watched him, and kind of a chorus of deadheads just went, you. And that was the end of it. And the cops all just kind of looked and walked away.
That's awesome. St. Stephen.
So, you.
Yeah, well, this is family radio. My 9-year-old, almost 10-year-old, is listening.
Nice.
Hey, you know, tomorrow is actually Bill Kreutzmann's birthday, so...
Oh, nice.
If you guys want to do a Dead cover, to say happy birthday to Bill, you could do that. I don't know if you do any Dead covers, but...
Yeah, we're going to do
you could do a cover. You could do a cover of a Bob Dylan song done by the Dead.
No, we actually do the Johnny Cash song done by the Dead. We're not going to do it tonight, though, but we do
that's
Big
That's
River.
An interesting thing. When I joined the band, that's how we do covers, is that we don't do, like, a Dylan cover. We do a Dylan cover of a Dead song of the way that Marley played it, like, in 76
right,
or something.
Exactly.
It's been through several layers of interpretation.
It's gone through the blender,
Well, so in that vein, why don't we get into some more music, then? You know?
Yeah, cool. Should we do our Dead cover? Just jump.
Yeah, let's
it?
Do a Dead cover since let's we're talking it. About it. This is off their first album.
This is our, I think, our favorite Dead cover to do, really, at least mine anyway. Hopefully, you don't butcher it too bad considering we're playing on
and
the radio. This is.
I'm gonna say this too, real quick, Matt. Sorry to interrupt, but this is 90.3 KMBA, Dead or Alive. If you just tuned in, we got Big Fat Buddha in the studio. Call your friends, tell them they're gonna be in here for at least another half an hour. So, here we go, guys.
Five of them. One, two, ready, and... Well, this job I've got is a little too hard. I'm running out of money, Lord, I need more pay. I'm gonna wake up in the morning, Lord, I'm gonna pack my weary bag. I'm gonna beat it on down the line. I'm going down the line,
going down the line,
going down the line,
going down the line,
down the line,
going down the line,
I'm going down the line,
going down the line,
going down that line,
down the line,
down the line,
down the line,
beat it on down the line. That's where I think I belong. I'm going down to my same old used to be, down in Joe Brown's coal mine. I said coal mine,
coal mine,
coal mine,
coal mine,
coal mine,
coal mine,
coal mine. Coal mine,
coal mine,
down in Joe Brown's coal mine.
that I belong. Oh, got my old woman, she's waiting out there for me. That's where I'm gonna make my happy home. I said happy home, happy home, happy home, happy home, happy home, happy home, happy home,
happy home.
I said happy home, happy home, happy home, happy home. That's where I'm gonna make my happy home.
Something like that.
And if you just tuned in, that was Big Fat Buddha playing live in our studio. That was awesome, guys.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Thank
fun
you.
One.
Thank you.
Now,
yeah.
Slodo, you have a child.
I do, yeah.
And tell us about your little baby.
It's the first Big Fat Buddha baby, huh?
It is the first Buddha baby, yeah. So it's kind of all, it's a learning process for me, you know, because I've played in bands and stuff, and there's no, like, it's like being in a band is always about, like, being a rebel and being against the grain and being not responsible. And now I have this baby who I love, who's just changed my life and amazing. And he looks at me and I got to be the grown up adult guy, you know? So it's a trip. It's definitely a bug out, but
baby have a name.
The baby's name is Henry.
Tell the story of Henry, the name.
The Henry. My wife and I were battling at, you know, what to name him, because we want to go something cool, but you don't want to name him like Apple or something weird. So we may have more kids down the line, you know, at some point. So we agreed that kind of I get this one. So Henry, after my huge influence, John Henry Bonham. So
nice.
No, all right. All
right. Yeah.
And my father's name was Henry, so I got an affinity for that.
It's
name,
a strong name. You know, it's not weird. It's very rock and roll for my reason, but it's not weird or crazy or anything. So,
but he also has a tattoo of Bonham's symbol on his arm there,
the baby?
Too. Yeah, no, the baby. Yeah, the baby has
baby's
a tattoo.
Already got, yeah, we're working on the baby's tattoos already.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a birthmark.
Yeah, I've got the Bonham rings tattooed on me. Yeah. So.
Well, and I got to say, Slodo, is a relatively new member of the band, and when we first got together with him, we were like, man, this guy is awesome, and he says, I do have to let you guys know, we are expecting a baby in the coming months. And we were like, ooh, uh-oh. You know, we went on to spend a bunch of months getting them all trained up, and then all of a sudden, there goes daddy, you know. So, and he was real adamant, no, you know, it's not gonna affect my musical, you know, whatever, I'm going to be able to play and do all that. And you're like, well, that's a great plan, we'll see. And to the guy's credit, the day his baby was born, which just went wonderfully and everything, and he actually showed up to band practice that frickin' night, man. He came out and we played for a couple. Mostly we just drank champagne. But,
that's true.
Yeah, the guy's dedicated.
There's mixed reactions on that. You know, I told my sister about that. And she's like, are you insane? You're going to band practice and you've got a baby? And, you know, my wife is totally cool. She's like, yeah, I need some sleep. You know,
the baby's sleeping.
All day.
Yeah.
The baby's sleeping. Yeah, he doesn't, you know, so.
Can't take it to band practice.
That's right.
I wanted to bring them all to band practice. But
he's
going to
be our new key player. We just need 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, real cool wife to, you know, be up for letting him pursue his dream.
Yeah, shout out to your wife.
Yeah,
yeah.
Kate,
yeah,
she's awesome.
Thank you.
She's amazing.
Shout out to all the Big Fat Buddha ladies, really, for putting.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Ivy.
Nice. And I'm gonna agree with you on the name of your child. I mean, I named my first kid Dylan, and it was a girl.
Nice. Oh, nice.
But I was still like
Bob.
Dylan. She's like, great. Yeah. My dad named me after a guy.
Yeah. I named my dog Etta after Etta James, but unfortunately, the dog is gone. But I have a new dog.
Does the dog sing?
No.
Well, it did.
It barks a lot. Yeah.
Tried.
So we're a family band, yeah. I mean, it's but that's like I think the secret. It's a lot of guys who work in music. They have kids, and it's cool. So I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, what a tough thing trying to balance family, job, and band practice, and touring. I mean, just doing the radio gig every Tuesday night is a little bit of a task. Mm-hmm. You know, just taking away from that time with family.
Yep.
Well, it's got to be. I mean, you've got to have people around you who are supportive. I mean, it's like these guys. Yep. Like Matt was just saying, like, you know, his girlfriend Ivy's awesome, and you know, it's our family that lets us. You know, my wife Kate lets me escape and go to practice while she's home with the baby. So it's you know, it's all dependent on the family. They got to be your support.
We're booked
circle.
So many weekends this summer that, you know, definitely detracts from the time that we would be doing other things. But we got a lot of support from it. We're able to run around and tour, and of course we pay for everything all weekend and take them take them on fun trips and things like that, try to make it worth their while. But so we definitely put up with a lot.
Where are you guys playing next?
So we got the Yukon Bar coming up on not this weekend, but the weekend after. What is that weekend? Everybody know?
I think it's 16th May 16th.
Yeah, 16th and 17th.
Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday with Yukon and Seward. And then we'll be at the Taproot with Hot and Awkward on the Memorial Day weekend, the Friday, kicking the Memorial Day off. It's going to be
23rd,
awesome. That's the 23rd. And then we have a lot of dates coming up. We have some really, really great ones. We can't tell you some of them right yet because they're not official. And go to our website and go to which is at BigFatBuddhaBands.com, and of course we're on Facebook. Just type it in there, Buddha, Big Fat Buddha.
Big Fat Buddha,
and we'll let you know. We won't annoy you too much with stuff on Facebook, let you know.
Tell us this, guys. When people come to your shows, what do you want to leave them with? I mean, what do they expect to get?
Sweaty shorts.
Yeah. Wow. No, you know,
that's not in my notes, man.
The great thing about our shows, and it's been really a treat, and it's probably why I started wanted to get musicians together and form a band. It was just to get people together and have fun, and it exceeded my expectations. And there are people that come to consecutive shows that I never knew before that I know now, and then they meet up with other people that come to consecutive shows, and then they're friends, and then it's just this really great cohesive family that that are come to our shows. And it's like we wouldn't be doing this for 4.5 years if you know the place was half full or you know.
Yeah, we've been blessed. Yeah. Every show we've played seems to be a good time. I mean, we can count on our fingers the number of shows that we're like, whoa, that was a dud. And you know, that was like when we played
it was a March of Dimes. That was the weirdest show we ever had.
Which one was that?
March of Dimes. They rented the Egan Center.
Oh yeah,
and it was the bartender. And Mary and Ivy and that was about it. Yeah, and the other bands.
And we played like gigantic with this epic PA.
It was a Spinal Tap moment.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Very much so, yes. But, you know, I think also one of the gig in Alaska is the bar. It's if you want to be a touring band in Alaska, you have to be able to kind of put on a party in a sense, because people come out on a Friday or Saturday night after doing a week or whatever they were doing, adventures or work or whatever, and most of them just want to have a good time and party and dance and drink and see their friends and stuff like that. Not too many people are there because they want to sit down and hear your love ballads. So if you can keep the crowd dancing, you can get invited back, and people enjoy your music, and that way you can, you know, have a lot more room for error too, because as long as the drums and the bass keep going, then the party keeps going. So we've actually kind of catered a lot of who we are as a band, and the songs that we write are based off that idea that, you know, we're there to have a good time and keep people dancing. Most of the songs we play, you can shake a little bit too, or move your feet at least to some degree. We're kind of branching out of that a little bit. We're starting to do some more, I don't know, pop tunes. In fact, we got a song coming up in a little bit that I wouldn't exactly call a dance tune. But just because, you know, we want to branch out into some more musical realms. But for the most part, that's what we cater to with the show. So,
and if I could just shout out to Jeff Arms, who's our percussionist, and he's such a fantastic, he's probably the greatest percussionist I've ever seen, to be honest. And I wish he was here to defend himself.
No slight to Slodo.
Yeah, he plays along with Slodo, you know, definitely. But he's just so energetic, and he's really something to watch. And he keeps me going. I see him bouncing up and down. We all bounce up and down when Jeff's bouncing up and down. So
I love old stage shakes.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. I love playing with percussionists. I get questions sometimes like, "What is it like? Do I feel like it's, you know, we interfere with each other?" It's awesome because it lets me focus on keeping the beat, you know, keeping the backbeat so people are dancing. And you know, Jeff Arms gets to create the mood and rock
the whistles.
Yeah, bells and whistles and the toys and stuff, and it's awesome because he sort of fills it out, and I just get to focus on the beat, and you know, that's it. So yeah. I love it.
So what's next, guys?
What are we doing?
You want to do I Got One Thing?
Yeah. It's another original song that Matt wrote.
All right.
This is one of those tunes that sounds a lot better with Jeff, but we'll pull it off without him. One, two, ready, and...
Looking for something to say. Oh, how I love those rainy days. I'd like to know how hard you try. Chasing rainbows up in the sky. Oh,
got one thing that I'd like to say to you right now. Whoa. I got one thing that I'd like to say to you right now. Up with the blues today because why I cannot say, but I'll tell you one thing that's for sure, life ain't easy when you're poor. I got one thing that I'd like to say to you right now. Whoa. I got one thing that I'd like to say to you right now. Whoa. I got one thing that I'd like to say to you right now. Whoa. I got one thing that I'd like to say to you. Honey, right now. Whoa. No more time, I've got to go. Miles through the snow. When that setting sun goes down, put our feet back on the ground.
Very good. 90.3 KNBA. That was Big Fat Buddha live in the studio. That was not a recording.
No, that was pretty sweet. And I'm still trying to figure out what you were going to say.
Yeah. Well, That's the beauty of that one.
Music speaks, I guess.
You know what I also really enjoyed about the song, too, was the pauses and coming back and forth into the music.
Oh, thanks.
It's like an artist is always afraid of negative space, you know, not having everything full.
That's something we learned from Miles Davis. And Slodo, I think, will tell you a little bit about dynamics.
Oh, right? Yeah. Because I'm sort of from the old, like, school of, like, Bonham, Dave Grohl, hard-hitting drums. And, you know, playing this band is kind of a learning experience because they like the dynamics. You know, there's a lot of James Brown influences and there's breaks and things. And, you know, there's times at practice where they're like, you know, you need to tone it down a little bit so we can build it up.
Yeah, so you can't build it up if you don't break it down.
That's one of the awesome things I've learned here. You know, is that I think before I really joined up, my approach was just play the drums hard all the time. And it's cool because actually when you turn it down, you know, the 11 sounds louder when you've got the knob to turn farther, you know. Yeah. So it's awesome.
Yeah, and he's come a long way with that for sure. He's sitting here playing like all quiet ninja style, and
I was
quite the change.
Before we went on the air, is that like I had to like watch like Dave Grohl's Nirvana Unplugged to see how, you know, like a basher tones it down, because it's like it's sort of a new school for me to just chill out a little bit. But it's great, you know. It's like I said, there's more texture, you know.
And the the definition of music, in case anyone's curious, is the arrangement of sounds and silence. So it's it's, you know, it's what you don't play a lot of times that can contribute to a good tune, especially when you have our group. So we have Brad, who's probably one of the most intricate, amazing bass players
Whatever.
I've ever met, and very busy.
Thank you,
very
Matt.
Busy bass player. But
he carried that song because you're all over the place, Matt, on that one.
Exactly. And so, and I'm a lead player, and Jeff is pretty much the equivalent of a lead guitarist to a rhythm guitarist. He would be the lead drummer. And so he's always doing all these crazy rhythms. I'm doing a lot of whacka-chucka-whacka-chucka on the guitar and solos. And Brad's like, and then, you know, the drummer's playing all kinds of notes. So if we're not somewhat careful about what we're playing, it just turns into a gigantic jungle gym of rhythms. And it gets pretty out of control and pretty muddy and pretty crappy sounding. So a lot of times what we try to do is just refine everything and say, okay, this is the spot where the bass kind of gets a little busier. I'm just going to lay off on the guitar. And Slodo does an excellent job of just keeping it simple. You know, it's too much is less. You know, less is more. So it's been a lesson that we've learned slowly over the years. But and we're still not, you know, we're no talking heads or fish or something with our perfect little intricacies. But we're getting there. So,
an advice I'd like to give to musicians, if I was able to give advice, would be to, you know, not be so egotistical. And be very giving, I guess, while playing. And I think that's a really important thing when you're playing with people. Is that in Alaska, there's a lot of really good musicians, but there's not a lot of really great bands. And I think it's because we get hung up on our own deal. And so you learn to be a supportive role. It's quite humbling. And
I think the long nights make for a lot of sitting around by yourself playing solos. So I think a lot of guys just get guitars and start shredding. Yeah. You know, so like Brad is saying, it's a good musician, I think, is one who knows when to not play.
Right.
Not
give
just
space
to
the musician.
When to shred it. So
yeah, and being able to tell somebody that too is an important part of the band. Like if Slodo's playing something, we'll be like, man, just shut up there, dude. Like, you're just playing way too much. Like, you're totally, you know, stepping on my toes. I can tell him that without him being, oh, well, he doesn't like what I'm playing, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's part of being in a band is good communication. And yeah, that's
definitely.
Problems that we've
well,
had before.
Well, wait till you guys
personally.
Get big, you know, and,
he
gets a real dumb drum kit there, you know. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I paid money for these drums.
Yeah, I want to play them, goddammit.
Well, cool thing about playing Forest Fair is you get a T-shirt, and that's pretty much why I'm into this business. It's just the T-shirts.
The free clothes.
Yeah, free clothes.
Brad doesn't have washer and dryers.
Yeah.
He needs a lot of shirts.
Hey, now, tell me how you guys got the name Big Fat Buddha, because I love
name. Yeah, so that was my creation on that one. It was me and Paul Hannes, and who now is living in the Zena River. It's a whole other story we'll tell another time, perhaps. But and Matt and Jeff Arms, we were a band, and we were trying to come up with a name. It was before our first gig, even. And I think we were throwing names all around.
We had some bad ones.
Yeah, I think Center of Gravity was for like 2 seconds. It was a skiing term. I don't know if anybody skis or snowboards out there. We learned that at our Aussie classes there, the Center of Gravity. But you know, we didn't really like that one. And then I was reading a book, and I can't even for the life of you tell what the book was, but it said something along the lines of Fat Buddha or Big Fat something. And then And I was like,
he just said it.
Yeah, and I came out like, next day. Yeah, the next day I was like, hey, what do you guys think about Big Fat Buddha? And everybody loved it.
Done.
So it's been kind of iconic because you just go online and find Buddhas on, you know, on Google search and then just like decorate them, put our name on it, and like wham, there you go, you got a flyer. So it's been really convenient.
Yeah. And it's a love-hate names. I've heard some people are like, man, I like you guys even though your name's Big Fat Buddha.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've heard that from a few.
Well, I like it because they gave Dave Grohl a hard time about Foo Fighters. You
right.
Know? So,
but, you know,
whatever.
You just pick name's something and stick with it, you know.
And after all, it all becomes, you know, like if you step back and think about Led Zeppelin, I think it's actually a pretty bad band name.
Right.
If anybody really
intellectualize
that. But again, you hear the word Led Zeppelin, you think of like rock gods.
I always thought Smashing Pumpkins was the worst name, but it's like, you know, whatever. So we were just in the mode of not trying to find a horrendous name, and that's how we settled on Big Fat Buddha.
And I like how we work it into the vocabulary practice, because if someone gets too worked up or mad about something, or a guitar won't tune or something, then someone goes, dude, very un-Buddha.
Very un-Buddha,
very un-Buddha.
Very un-Buddha.
Very un-Buddha. Well, that's the funny thing is, you know, like a lot of people will have all these ideas about what the name means, and, you know,
it doesn't mean anything.
And it doesn't mean a goddamn thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, but, you know, it does to whoever, so it's cool like that.
Hey, before we end the show tonight, can I tell one Grateful Dead story?
You
guys have to do a call here, though, right?
So we have to do top of the hour, but we can stretch
it. That's all right. This is Dead or Alive. Right. We can do whatever we
really?
Want.
Okay, let me just tell one. I guess we have, like, one more, right? One more song?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
One more tune.
Well, you know what? And there's another question I want to ask.
Oh, okay.
So go ahead and do your... Let's hear
your story. Okay, so when I was living in San Diego, you know, I was in Ocean Beach. I was working at a place called Dead Headquarters. You remember that place by any chance? It was right there on the corner of whatever it was. Anyhow, I just got back from Seattle. I was living up there, and I just got back, and I had some friends that owned that shop, and I needed a job. So they just sold tie-dyes and the such there, and the name was Dead Headquarters, as I mentioned. But the Grateful Dead showed up to play a show, and they hadn't played there in 25 years since Bobby got busted for coke, and so it was kind of a big deal. And so the first place they came, the media that is, was to the Dead Headquarters, and so I instantly became the spokesperson for the Grateful Dead. It was bizarre. And so first thing, the news showed up with the cameras and the such, and then the newspaper showed up, and they did that whole dealio. And then 6 o'clock that night, there I was with my crazy red hair on the 6 o'clock evening news talking about, you know, this and that. And then the next morning, I was on the front page of the San Diego Union Tribune, along with, I think it was a big NATO meeting. So I was on, with, you know, Nobel Prize winners and NATO people. Nice. On the front page, it was the most bizarre weekend. And that's when I really realized that it's like, this is magical. Like, this experience, this Grateful Dead experience, it goes beyond, like, what I was really kind of comprehending that it was before that time. And it kind of,
awesome.
So that's my, other than the marshmallow fight, that's one of my favorite Grateful Dead stories.
That's the one you can remember anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I did want to ask, this is going to be the last song. As far as, is this going to be an original?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. So you know, it's obvious the musical talent and how you put these songs together musically. I've been trying to focus on the lyrics while I'm working the soundboard here and trying to figure it out. So where do your lyrics come from?
Matt is a brilliant lyricist. I'll let you tell.
I
love this writing. Yeah, the next one.
He won't admit it to it, but I'll tell you, he is something else. And when he improvises on stage, and I've seen him do it, if he raps in a sense, if we get him to rap right now, which he probably won't do, he'll come up with some really brilliant, quite amazing and amusing stuff, but he won't admit it.
These guys are kind.
Well, we notice he likes to talk.
Yeah.
I got a lot to say here about nothing. No, and that's pretty much how my songs are. I've got a lot to say about nothing. I don't know.
Lyric
writing is one of those things I never really aspired to. I was heavy into Bob Dylan, heavy into Bob Dylan for many years, and still am, but not to the degree I used to be. So in high school, I was always the guitar player in the band, dealing with lead singers, and eventually I kind of thought, well, maybe I'll try the singer songwriter part out, and started doing the acoustic guitar and singing songwriting. And over about 2 or 3 years, just hanging out in my garage, I managed to write 3 or 4 notebooks full of songs, just most of them junk. But songwriting and lyric writing is like anything else. You actually have to do it a lot before you start getting better at it. You're not just good at it. Very few people just write the first song they write is great, you know. And so I just wrote just because, no goal in mind. And eventually I started to kind of hone in on, like, you know, being able to put pieces together. And it's whenever you set out to write a song about something, it fails, at least in my opinion. I'm going to write this song about this or that, it just flops. Instead, what I do is I start playing, and I just open my mouth and let the words sort of roll out and how they fit with the music and just the words meshing together in, you know, sort of a poetic way without any intention for lyrical meaning at all has always been the best method for me. And then afterwards, it's bizarre. I'll write these lyrics down that just sound good coming out of my mouth. And afterwards, I'll look at them and say, this is really about something. And I didn't even know what it was I was writing about that whole time. And then afterwards, like, oh, that's cool. This is a song about this or whatever. So, and then I kind of go in and refine them. But mostly I just, you know, just let stuff roll off the tongue and write it down.
And the cool thing about art in any form is that the viewer, the person looking at it, interpreting it, can get something completely different out of it, what you mean or what you don't mean, even. Yeah. You know,
if you spell it out too literally, then there's no room for interpretation, and no one can really take it their own way. That's one of the things I loved about Bob Dylan, was that he would write these bizarre lyrics, and everybody and their grandma would have some awesome interpretation of what it meant, and Subterranean Homesick Blues, this and that, and although that one has got pretty definite meaning. But in one of his interviews, people say, what is this about? What is that about? He's like, I have no freaking idea. I just, you know, it's just cool words. It just sound good. And that's the great part, is that a lot of times those are the songs that have the most meaning to them, because you can sort of derive. The human mind is very good at kind of drawing correlations between what you hear and what you experience. So and
patterns.
You know, Robert Hunter used to say he loved it when people came up to him and told him what his songs were about.
Yeah, exactly.
And he'd go, really?
That's great. That's fascinating. Yeah.
You know, I was actually talking to my wife just the other day. We were listening to this this new Dave's Picks, and like, you know, God, I know all these lyrics by heart, but I could count on one hand how many of them I know what those songs are about.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's like hundreds of Robert Hunter Grateful Dead songs out there that the lyrics are all over the map. You know, Terrapin Station was playing at home the other day. And it's like, man, what is
that?
That
one in particular. Yeah, that's a really bizarre one. Yeah.
My Terrapin daughter's like, good. Daddy, this song is really long. I'm like, yeah, but what does it mean?
What does it mean, man?
Well, we should remind our listeners that you are listening to KNBA 90.3. Where music matters, and this is Miles and Dave, and this is Dead or Alive, live music from the Grateful Dead and beyond, and you are listening live. Big Fat Buddha is in the studio with us, and they're going to play one more tune. So, hey, let's crank it up, guys.
This one is a really great lyric song as well. So,
we got two more if you guys got time, but we'll see how that flows together.
We'll fill it up.
You know what? We got time.
But we got time. I got the money, honey. You got the time. All right, we'll give this one a shot anyway. This is our Trampled by Turtle influence. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Baby, why don't we go away for the weekend? I would take you home just to meet my folks. Love the way that you looked in the morning light so softly, and the way that you laughed at my day-old jokes. And it's so mean, oh, oh my. Tell me your favorite color. Shadows and the dark hold you when the storm comes a pounding at your doorstep. You'll be there to guide me when I miss my mark. And it's so past my tattered boot heels, there's silence in the stars, stretched across the sky. There's pain in my heart when I think of life without you. There's truth in my words that I'll love you till I die. And it's all me, and it's all mine. Tell me your favorite story, and I'll tell you my favorite lie. And it's all me, and it's all mine. Tell me your favorite color, and I'll paint it on the sky. And I'll paint it on the sky. And I'll paint.
That we are going to have to hear another song. That was just too great, you guys.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Yeah, that was awesome. Nice change of pace. Great.
That's what we're working on.
So let's let everybody know where you're going to be. Where can they find you?
Well, Anchorage. Well, besides the social media, Facebook and BigFatBuddhaBand.com. Definitely check us out on there. But playing,
and you know what? Big Fat Buddha is spelled Big Fat
BUDDHA.
Yeah, don't forget about the H, folks.
HA, not AH. Right. We've seen it all.
No fat, no PH fat either.
Very un-Buddha. really, if you're an Anchorage person and don't feel like driving 3 hours to see us, I think May 23rd at the Taproot is going to be the big Anchorage Buddha gig with Hot Knockward.
Yeah.
And Taproot, that's kind of our home base. So if you want to see us in our real prime, Taproot's the place to catch it.
Yeah, Rebecca's been really good to us over the years. Matt and I were playing. We did open mic, I think, our very first time playing together when we first met on Craigslist there. And we just went to the old one off on the south side there and just kind of put up that little backstage kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
There.
I didn't know they had music at the old one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, believe it or not, they did. And, we made it happen. It was before she had a PA or anything. We'd bring all of our own gear and stuff. My old band, Totally Farfetched, used to do that as well there. So it was kind of, we cut our teeth at the Taproot, and that will always be our home base for sure. So thanks, Rebecca, for all these years of support. And we'll be there. It's gonna be our last show for the summer at the Taproot. And
what? That's our first show of the summer, actually.
It's going to be after that show. It's going to be the last show in Anchorage for the rest of the summer.
In Anchorage,
right.
So you're all over the state. So.
Right after that, we're all over the place. That's correct. So. Again, you can find that calendar.
Yeah, we have that gig in, where is it? Squetna, right?
Squetna.
If someone told me 5 years ago that I'd be like taking a barge to go play somewhere like in the interior, I just would think that's crazy, right? But we're being trucked out somewhere to
upriver.
Yeah, upriver. It's crazy.
Should be a party.
Well, the first Salmon Stock was great with Bill. Bill Grutzman's band was playing the Seven Walkers, and to share the stage after I think we played them earlier in the day, and it was like, wow, Bill's going to be on the stage.
Yeah,
it was
pretty
cool to share
a stage with a Grateful Dead member at some point during the day.
Boy, it was pretty fantastic. A really great,
We've got high hopes for most of the festivals. We're hoping to see y'all at Forest Fair. We're hoping to see y'all at Salmon Stock, but nothing's been announced
there too
yet. So yeah, hope you'll see us there too.
Yeah, so we do some of the announcing at Salmon Stock. So if you're there and you want us to introduce you on stage, we'd love to do it for you.
Yeah, can you get the crowd really rallying? Let's hear you. Let's do it. Let's see you.
Hi everybody, welcome to Salmon Stock.
Oh, you're hired. You're hired.
Yeah, you're the man.
We'll seem really climactic after that.
Well, that's the idea. I can't be better than you.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, what do you want to do?
Well, I think we owe it to Slodo to play 1500 Miles.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Cool. So this is our drummer's favorite tune. It gives him a chance to really do his thing. I think a lot of the times he's mostly holding back, just to do what's right for the song, which we obviously appreciate. But this one he gets to bust out a little bit.
We're gonna move his drums out into the hall for this song.
Yeah, not a bad idea actually. Or move your ears out there.
All right, Big Fat Buddha on Dead or Alive.
Bones. I've been walking for some time now, but honey, I haven't found my home. I waited for the morning sun to peek above the ridge. We got the gates across that raging river without no bridge, 'cause I gotta walk, oh, 1,500 miles, and I gotta fade, oh, 1,500 smiles. Toiling in the bog, had to find my way through that misty morning fog. I kicked my ragged boots off and I built myself a fire. I stared into the dancing flames and felt myself get high. Oh, 1,500 miles, and I got a faith. Oh, 1,500 smiles. And the river is flowing downward, and the sun ain't shining down. And there's an ocean, the body's burning, while the rain is falling upside down. Oh! My next of kin, you know that I was raised a Jack Daniels number 7 and gin. So quit your job and burn your car, give your money to the poor. Nothing in this troubled world's gonna bother you no more. Oh, oh, 1,500 miles, and I got a faith.
Was hot. I can see why you like that one, Slodo. All right. Well, thanks so much for coming into
thanks,
the studio, guys.
Thank you.
This
great.
Is awesome. Thank
thanks
you.
For having us.
Thanks to all the
we should
Buddha
definitely do
there.
It again.
Yeah, let's Absolutely. Do it again, man.
Yeah, and
next week.
And listeners, May 23rd at the Taproot, you can see Big Fat Buddha live. What a great place to see him, too.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Cool. Yeah, so, you know, we're gonna get into some music, let these guys pack up their stuff and go home and get a good night's sleep, because I think they work. You guys work, right?
Yeah.
Besides
we
this.
We pretend to work.
Yeah.
On the drive home, can I suggest a song, though? Can you play Alligator for me?
Alligator. Yeah. It's on the new Dave's Picks. Oh, I almost said Dick's Picks. yes, it's on here. We should do
That's good. Play in like 5 minutes so I can get in the car and I'll listen on the way home, okay? Okay. Thanks. I really appreciate it.
All right. You got a nice long drive, right? You drive into like Florida for this one?
Yeah. Yeah, go back to Stockholm. So.
Yeah, we got a gig tonight in Amsterdam, so it's a long drive.
Right on. All right. So, all right. Well, again, guys, Big Fat Buddha, you know, make sure you guys, BigFatBuddhaBand.com.
Right, that's right. It's a website.
And then the Facebook page. That's easy. Big Fat Buddha, type it in. I did it. It came right up. So, no problem there. And this is Dead or Alive, live music from the Grateful Dead and beyond. And live music matters.